We're going to read the Gospel of John's account of the resurrection story. If you'd like to read all three or all four of the accounts, there's of course one contained in each of the Gospels. If you go to the last chapter of Matthew, you can read about the resurrection. If you go to the last chapter of Mark, you can read about the resurrection. If you go to the last chapter in Luke, you can read about the resurrection. The next to the last chapter in John, John chapter 20 again, contains a story of the resurrection. There's no contradiction between the stories. They're told from four different perspectives. They're all divinely inspired. And when you piece all of the pieces together, they give you an overview of what happened on the day of the greatest miracle in the history of mankind, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand for the reading of God's word in John chapter number 20. We'll begin in verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. How many of you here have seen Jesus Christ in person and touched the nail prints in his hand and taken your hand and touched the wound in his side? Anybody done that? How many of you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again? You know what Jesus said? Blessed are you. Because you know what? Thomas said, I won't believe it until I see it. But you know what, folks? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has set up things so that the only way a man can have a proper relationship with God is through faith. And so blessed are ye because ye have not seen and yet ye believe. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter and this wonderful story. And Lord, as we kind of preach our way down through it, I pray, Lord, that Jesus and the great miracle of his resurrection, Lord, would be highlighted and dear God, looked at maybe in a brand new light, in a brand new way. And Lord, I pray that you would use this, dear God, for us to leave here this morning with a greater appreciation for the great miracle of the resurrection. We pray these things in the name of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning. I've entitled Reactions to the Resurrection, Reactions to the Resurrection. Or we could call the message Running, Weeping, Lying, Doubting, or Believing. Running, Weeping, Lying, Doubting, or Believing. There's so many things that are happening in this chapter, and so many things as you take all of the pieces of the puzzle from the four accounts in the Gospels and put them all together. The resurrection day, folks, was not only just an exciting day, it was a busy day. There was a lot going on. I ran quickly through the timeline in my Sunday school class, and I might do that to help you to know and get a view, an overview. We won't take the time to go to all four of the Gospels and put all the pieces together, but it's very interesting to just see and know and kind of get in your mind clearly what happened on Resurrection Sunday. Mary Magdalene went with the other ladies towards the tomb, and they left when it was still dark, the Bible says. And as she approached the tomb, it got light enough where she could see that the stone was rolled away and the guards were no longer there. And Mary Magdalene jumped to a conclusion, jumped to an assumption that since the stone was rolled away and since those that were guarding the body were gone, that they must have moved the Lord or taken his body somewhere. And so she turns around and runs to tell Peter and John. The other ladies, at least four more ladies, stayed there in the vicinity of the tomb trying to decide what they should do. Mary gets all the way back, Magdalene gets all the way back and finds Peter and John and tells them, hey, they have taken away the body of our Lord. And she's distraught over this, as we will see this morning when we get to the weeping part, all right? So Peter and John, they've got to go see for them. By the way, there's a lot of running going on in this story. There's a lot of excitement happening on Easter Sunday. Mary takes off running. She gets there. You can imagine she's out of breath. She's trying to tell this story. She's near hysteria. Peter and John, maybe she's lost her mind. Maybe she made a mistake. Here they come running. Apparently John was in a little bit better shape than Peter because John outdistances him and gets to the tomb first. He goes over to the tomb and he stoops and looks in, but he doesn't go in. And he steps back, and then here comes Peter huffing and puffing. He probably, being a preacher, he's probably a little out of shape. And he goes right past John, being Peter, very Peter-like, right past John into the tomb and looks around and sees the linens folded there and the napkin folded there. And I believe Peter is still perplexed and still wondering. He's got the idea that was planted in his mind from Mary that maybe they've taken the body of Jesus. But it's interesting that John had a different reaction. The Bible says that after Peter stepped in and came out, John steps in, and the Bible says, and when he saw it, he believed. I told our young people this. I said, I think if we could have seen John's face, and John, remember, was John the Beloved. He was the closest of all of Jesus' disciples. He was the one that leaned upon his breast, and he heard all of the whispers, and he heard all of the private conversations. And even though Jesus had told his disciples on more than one occasion, I will die and rise again, it's almost like they blanked it out. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to believe that. But I can see John step into the empty tomb, look at the clothes, look at the napkins, a smile comes on his face, and I think he says something like this to himself, well, I'll be, he did it. He did it. And he believed from that point. He was probably, I believe, the first one that comprehended and believed. We're going to talk about the importance of believing. What had happened on that resurrection morning? Peter and John take off and they're headed back to their house. Mary Magdalene's outside of the tomb here. And oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this. When Mary Magdalene was running to get John and Peter, and as they headed up and were having the foot race, the other four ladies, before they got back, decided we're going to go take a look. So they go in and peek in the tomb, and they're met by two angels. And the two angels tell them, he's not here, he's risen. Go tell the apostles. Now, there's a lot of traffic on this highway now, all right? There's people running back and forth. Here comes the two apostles. Here goes the four ladies. Boom, they go one way, he gonna go the other way. And they, by the time they get there, the ladies are looking for the disciples to tell them, hey, we just saw angels, and they told us that he rose from the dead. And so now, John and Peter's been in there. They're heading back to the house. And then the ladies are waiting there trying to convince the other disciples. The Bible says, by the way, Thomas, we're going to talk about Thomas, kind of gets the rap of being doubting Thomas. But if you'll read the story, when the ladies go to tell the rest of the disciples, they said that they listened to them as one telling idle tales. They didn't believe it either. And there was a lot of unbelief, watch this, on resurrection. There's a lot of running on resurrection day. There's a lot of weeping on resurrection day. There's some doubting going on, but thank God there's some believing going on by the end of the day. And so now Peter and John has taken off, and Mary stays there, and she weeps and is weeping, and she peeks inside the tomb. Boom, there's an angel there. And she says, why are you weeping? And she says, I think near hysteria. Women get that way sometimes. And she's near hysteria. And she says, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him. And she turns around before he has an even chance to tell her that he's risen from the dead. And then here comes Jesus. And you'll notice this about Jesus and his resurrected body, is there were times in his glorified body, in his resurrection body, that he had the ability to withhold recognition. Not everybody that saw Jesus in his resurrected body recognized him right away. He could withhold that. He could either choose to appear in a way that they would recognize or appear in a way that they did not recognize. And so here comes Jesus up to her and says, woman, why weepest thou? And she's saying, because they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've taken. If you'll show me where you've taken him, I'll take his body. By the way, let me just say this. I said this to our young people. I know you're getting a little bit of a repeat here, but it needs to be said again. Let me tell you something. Mary Magdalene loved our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus found her, she was possessed by seven devils, seven demons. Can you imagine what kind of a life this poor woman had, being controlled by seven demons? She had a horrible life. Listen, the devil will always drive people to destruction. And you can imagine the life that she had. Jesus cast out those demons. Jesus saved her soul. Jesus, you know what, was believed by her to be the Son of God. Mary Magdalene was a believer, but this wickedness that's being pumped out of Hollywood and pumped out of the printing industry that wants to suggest that Mary Magdalene and Jesus had some type of a illicit affair and had a child. Let me tell you something, that's blasphemous, that's wicked, and I pray for the salvation of those that are propagating that, but if they do not get saved, they'll look into the eyes one of these days of whom they have to do. They're going to have to answer for the wicked and blasphemous things that they've said about Jesus Christ and this precious and pure lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. And here she is weeping. And of course, she loves the Savior. And I think that Mary Magdalene has a very special place in the heart of the Lord. And she doesn't recognize him. And she's wanting, and notice the dedication. If you'll tell me where they've taken a body, I will take it away. She's understanding, if I have to do it myself, I want to see to him that his body's properly cared for. And then he says just her name, Mary. And you know what? The Bible says as soon as she heard his name, she looked up and saw him, and he allowed himself to be known to her. And she says, Rabboni, which is to say master. And she starts to grab his feet, but he says, don't touch me, don't touch me. And again, boy, there's a lot here, isn't there? Woo, this is good. The Old Testament priest had to go through a cleansing process before they were allowed to slay the lamb. Remember in the Old Testament? blood sacrifice, they'd slay the lamb, they'd take the blood, and they'd enter into the Holy of Holies, sprinkle it on the mercy seat. But from the time that they slew the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, at the brazen altar and carried the blood in, nobody could touch them. If anybody touched them, they would be unclean. They'd have to go through the whole cleansing process and start everything over again. You know what? Jesus was getting ready to take the blood up to the mercy seat in heaven and sprinkle it on the mercy seat so that once and for all, there'll be a payment for sin that will be there forever as testimony of the fact that Jesus did pay it all. And he's paid for our sins. And he's paid the full price. And so he says, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended into my Father. And he said, now listen, go tell the disciples. Now think about this. All right, now here comes Mary. Boom, she's running again. And now she's got to go find the disciples because she's got another story to tell them. Hey, guess what? Nobody stole his body. He appeared to me. I saw him. He's risen from the dead. Meanwhile, these other gals have told the disciples. They said that they're crazy. They said, well, maybe we ought to go have another look. And so they head back. And Jesus, in the meantime, I believe, ascends up to the Father, sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat. And then he comes back to begin his ministry in his glorified body. And guess who he comes down and meets? These ladies that were heading back. And I know that he's been to the mercy seat because the Bible says that they held him when they saw him. They fell down and held his feet and worshiped him. So he's already been to the mercy seat. And so now he appears to them. And you know what he tells them? I've risen from the dead. Go tell the disciples. Now the disciples are getting all this information. Here comes the Mary Magdalene back. He's risen. I've saw him. Here comes the ladies back. He's risen. I've seen him. And the disciples still are not believing it. It wasn't just the 11 disciples that were getting this information. There were others. There are other disciples there. Watch this. Two of them break away, and they've got an appointment in Emmaus, and they can't put it off anymore. And all this stuff is going on, and all this crazy is going on, but you know what? We got to get to Emmaus. So they start walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about all this, and here comes Jesus, and he comes alongside them. And he says, you mind if I travel along? Sure. He said, what are y'all talking about? And they're like, you haven't heard. Man, what are we, you're not from here? Haven't you? Don't you know what's been going on? And then, what's been going on? Can you imagine? Jesus just wants to hear the story. He wants to hear them tell about it. And by the way, he still likes to hear us tell somebody about it. Amen. And so they start talking about Jesus. And we thought he was going to be the king of Israel. And then they killed him. And we thought that was over. And then these ladies come this morning with this story of how he's risen from the dead. And we don't know what to believe. And Jesus kind of rebukes them. And he calls them fools. And he said, he calls them slow of heart. And he begins to quote on the rest of that trip. He begins to quote all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning his coming, concerning his death, and concerning his resurrection. Man, would that have been neat. You know what? I've taken a lot of Bible classes in my life, but I think that there was a more learned in that walk with those two men. Can you imagine the living word expounding the written word, Jesus telling them all of the Old Testament and all of the prophecies. And man, this went on. By the way, later on they'll say this, did not our hearts burn within us when he spake with us, by the way. And they finally, it gets to evening time. Hey, we're going to stop in here and lodge. We're going to get a bite to eat. Want to eat with us? They walk in. Jesus breaks the bread. Ask the blessing. Their eyes are open. It's Jesus. Boom, he disappears, vanishes. You say, where does he go? Well, this is all resurrection day. This is all Easter. All this is happening on Easter day. The day's not over yet. Here's the disciples. They're gathered back in the upper room again, and they're talking about all the events, and all of a sudden the doors are shut. And Jesus leaves that meeting and appears in this meeting. He's in his glorified body. Then I can't wait to get my glorified body. There's no speed limits in your glorified body. I mean, that's got to be heaven right there. No speed limits. Can you imagine? Imagine what money you can make as a trucker if there was no speed limits, Brother Abel. I mean, no speed limits. He just went boom, left there, boom, appeared. Doors were shut. Glorified body. Doesn't need to open a door. Glorified body. Glorified Savior. Doesn't need to open a door. All of a sudden, They're kind of eating and talking and trying to figure out what's going on. And Jesus is standing in the midst of them. And he shows them nail scars in his hand. Shows him the wound in his side. He says, give me something to eat. And he takes a little bit of food and eats with them. And all of a sudden they realize he's alive. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. Now all of them were there except one, Brother Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. 8 days later, now we're outside of the resurrection. 8 days later, as we read in here, they meet again. Thomas, they tell him when he finally shows up. You know, he's one of these guys that was always late to church. When he finally got there, finally shows up. Missed out. Hey, if you're late to church, you're going to miss out, all right? Hey, by the way, something happens at 9:30 around here some of you are missing out on. Come on now, I'm just trying to help you, all right? Don't be mad at me, I'm trying to help you. You're going to miss out. Hey, show up. Show up early. Show up often. Amen. Kind of like voting. And all of a sudden, 8 days later, there he is. And Thomas is with him. Jesus shows up and says, there you go. You said you had to put your finger in the nail prints. Here you go. You said you had to thrust in the side of you. You're not going to believe me. Can you imagine how Thomas felt at that moment? What do you say except what he did say? He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said something. I mentioned when the reading. Folks, this is important. Jesus was offended by that. And he wasn't going to let him off the hook quite yet. He said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And that's why I ask you by raised hand, I wanted you to understand, you're blessed. You see, folks, if Jesus had to come down and prove something, then it wouldn't require faith. And you know what? If you're going to be saved, you got to be saved by faith. Now, preacher, there's a lot of things going on here. Well, let me just break them down. Number one, there was some running going on. Reactions to the resurrection. The resurrection caused a lot of excitement. We got Mary running one way and the disciples running the other, and then Mary running back with them, and then Mary running the second time and ladies running the other way. You know what? I don't know about you, but Easter Sunday to me is just a day of excitement. I think it's a day of excitement for the world, and they can't figure out why. There's just something special about it, and they've tried to figure out all these other ways to make it special, but I'm going to tell you, there is something about the sunrise on Easter Sunday, and there's something about a feel in the air, and there's just something spiritual and something anointed about this day that we set aside. I know it's a different day every year, and I know it's on any set day, and I know there's a very good chance that this isn't the actual day that Jesus rose again, but just the fact that Christendom has set aside a day and said, let's focus on the resurrection, there's just a lot of excitement on Easter Day. I noticed this, some weeping going on, reactions to the resurrection. There's some excitement. There's some weeping. The resurrection caused a lot of excitement, but the resurrection caused a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. That story I just told you, there was a lot of people that couldn't figure out what really was going on. It was coming in bits and pieces. The sad part about it is they had the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should have known what was going on. They could have known what was going on. He told them what he was going to do. But you know what? There was just a lot of confusion. I see that in the world today. I think that they understand there's an excitement about Easter, but there seems to be a lot of confusion about Easter out in the world today. I mean, people know it's a special day, but they don't know why it's a special day. They've tried to figure out different ways to celebrate. There's people that will get together and have family outings and Easter egg hunts and celebrate the way the world celebrates and do all these things. At the end of the day, Jesus Christ will never have been mentioned. The resurrection will never have been spoken of. They understand something has happened on this day, but they're confused about what it's really all about. As a general rule, I don't like these goofy church signs. You know the signs you drive by and there's nothing going on at the church ever, so they just got to come up with dumb things to put on their sign. But I got to kind of tip my hat to the sign in town. And it's someone mentioned to me, it almost seemed like a Bubba Bart sign. Like Bubba Bart would have come up with this one. There's a sign uptown in Jaysonville that says, Silly Rabbit, Easter is for Jesus. And I got to say, I kind of like that sign. I probably wouldn't put it on Blessed Hope, but I'm still kind of glad that somebody put it on there. Come on now, this day's about Jesus. Come on, this is about Jesus. This is about the resurrection. Hey, world, I know that you know that there's something that's exciting that's happening because it's Easter, and I know there's a little confusion out there, but let me just clear it up. This day is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the fact that up from the grave he arose. And so there was some weeping going on. Here Mary, who loves Jesus, is confused. Disciples who followed Jesus and left everything are confused. There's a lot of confusion going on Resurrection Sunday. There's running, and so there's excitement, there's weeping, and there's some confusion. And by the way, I didn't go here. If you want to sneak over there, it's worth a look. Go over to Matthew chapter 27 and 28. But I will tell you this too. We got to throw this in. There's some lying going on. There's some lying going on Easter Sunday. There's somebody's telling some lies on Easter Sunday. The resurrection caused some satanic damage control. The devil couldn't stop Jesus from rising from the dead, so he tried to do some damage control after the fact. If you go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 62, we see at the end of the story of the crucifixion that the next day, that following the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." This kind of drives me crazy, okay? The chief priests and Pharisees remember that, but the disciples seem like they missed it. Come on now. Somebody's not paying attention here. I think they didn't want to hear it. They wanted him to be king now. They just kind of didn't want to hear that. "Command therefore," verse 64, notice this. Chief priests and scribes wanted this to be done. "Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and saying to the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, and I like this. By the way, don't you think Pilate got a little glimpse into maybe who Jesus really was? Notice what he says. "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." I like that. Wasn't it Pilate, after he cross-examined Jesus and asked him the questions and fulfilled his obligation to do an personal investigation interview, wasn't he the one that walked out and said, "I find no fault in him"? Wasn't it his wife that sent a message and said to him, "Have no part of this man. I've been having dreams about him"? I think Pilate, I don't think he was a believer unto salvation, but I think he knew that there was something going on here and that Jesus was and very well could be who he claimed to be. He says to Roman soldiers, big, strong, strapping, veteran Roman soldiers, "You go make it as sure as you can." And so what did they do? Well, it goes on to say in verse number 66, "So they went and made the sepulcher sure," watch this, "sealing the stone and setting a watch." Now, can you imagine these Roman soldiers and what they talked about for the next 3 days and three nights? Of all the dumb assignments we've been ever given, we have to seal a tomb and guard a dead man and hope nobody steals his body. What a waste of time. Boy, they were in for a surprise. We go right into Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn upon the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow." Notice this. "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Strong Roman soldiers fainted. That doesn't look good on your resume. Fainted. These soldiers, these Green Beret unit, they're not supposed to faint. They fainted. Became as dead men. And then we read down, by the way, let's go down into the chapter. Look back at chapter 28, verse number 11. Let's go on down the chapter. By the way, sometime as the ladies were heading in early in the morning, the soldiers were heading out. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now let me tell you this, folks. Watch this. Every place in the Bible where God will tell you the truth, the devil will tell you a lie. Remember, the devil's a liar and the father of all lies. Yes, there's excitement on the resurrection day. And yes, there's some confusion on the resurrection day. But there was also some devilish damage control going on that day. Here's the story. Following the death of Jesus Christ, a rich man by the name of Joseph Arimathea, along with a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, came to Pilate and begged for the body of Christ. Both of these men were believers and also disciples of Jesus. They washed Christ's body. They wrapped it in clean linen. They laid the body in Joseph's tomb, then rolled a stone over the opening. The next day, the chief priests and Pharisees came to Pilate asking that a Roman guard detail be dispatched to guard the tomb. They told Pilate that Jesus had predicted his resurrection, claiming that 3 days after his death, he would rise again. Their fear was that the Jesus' disciples might come and steal the body of the Lord and then claim that he rose from the dead. Pilate granted the watch with these words, I like it, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." Roman soldiers came to the tomb Friday morning, sealed the stone. From Friday morning to Sunday morning, they guarded the tomb. On Sunday morning, something remarkable happened. That angel came down, rolled the stone away, sat on the tomb. They fainted dead away, woke up terrified, and scrambled back to the city. But there were the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they did not want eyewitness testimony concerning the resurrection of the Jesus Christ to come out of the mouths of anybody that they could have some control over. So the chief priest, the Bible said, and say they gave him a little money. Did you read that? Some they gave him large amounts of money. And they said, listen, we're going to make this worth your while. We need your help on this. Now you got to understand, this is putting the Roman soldiers in a tough spot. Because Roman soldiers are not supposed to admit that they were sleeping on the job. And yet we will pay you large amounts of money to tell people that you all fell asleep, and while you were sleeping, the disciples came. By the way, had to chip the mortar out. That didn't wake up the Roman soldiers, okay? A very believable lie. And by the way, if you'll take a look at all of the devil's lies, very few times do they make any sense, and very few times are they ever believable. Okay? But they, I mean, there it is, sealed. Okay, and guarded, but Roman soldiers, I mean, I'm talking about Green Beret units, fell asleep, and then disciples came and took sledgehammers and busted up the concrete, didn't wake anybody up, and then disciples pushed the stone away, and fishermen and tax collectors overpowered Roman soldiers and stole a body. I don't think so. Now listen to me, folks, listen to me. There's people that yet today deny and lie about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says it's commonly reported to this day. And can I say this? There's still people that are denying that Jesus ever rose again. You know what the devil's still in the business of doing right now? Spreading that lie. It didn't really happen. It's not true. You know what? They kind of take the mentality and they try to propagate in this culture the mentality of Thomas. Well, if you can't prove it to me, then I don't believe it. And you know what God says? There's a place I've prepared for unbelievers. It's not upon me to have to prove anything. I've provided you a Bible with the truth. You're either going to believe the truth or you're going to believe the lie. If you believe the lie, you'll go where the father of all lies is going to go. If you believe the truth, then heaven's doors can open to you. But you know what? Jesus is going to make sure that if we choose to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, we're going to do it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so that's the way God set it up. If you're going to believe, you have to believe by faith. Folks, can I say this? And I almost didn't bring this up today on Resurrection Sunday. But the world has gone past just lying about the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And now they've even become, because of the spirit of Antichrist. Come on, church. What is the spirit of Antichrist? What is the number one trait of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation? Your preacher's taught you. What is it? Blasphemy. The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit of blasphemy. More and more, it's becoming accepted in this culture to not just disbelieve the Bible, but to blaspheme the Bible. We had this week, I mean the week of Easter Sunday, this lady by the name of Stephanie Germanotta. And I'm going to call her Stephanie, all right? Stephanie Germanotta. Say, who's she? Well, she goes by another stage name that I'm not going to use. Because number one, she's not a lady. Okay? My mama's a lady. My wife's a lady. I know what a lady is. Lady Gaga is not a lady. And if I was going to use her name, I would keep saying Lady Gag Gag. And I don't really want to say that. So I'm just going to call her Stephanie. You know why? Because when she stands before God, she won't be Lady Gaga. She'll be Stephanie, whom God gave life to and God gave the truth to. But instead of believing the truth, she's chosen not just to disbelieve it, but to blaspheme the word of God. She released on Resurrection Week, this week, she released a soft porn music video in which she, in the video, let me just read it. Lady Gaga's music is often tasteless, but the pop star's new music video takes tasteless to new heights or new depths as the Christian masses prepare to celebrate Resurrection Day in a grotesque video for the song G.U.Y., Gaga has resurrected Jesus, Gandhi, and Michael Jackson after calling on her false gods. Listen to the demon-inspired lyrics, and I can't read them. I can't read them out loud. At the heart of the song is a sex change theme, suggesting it may not matter if you were born this way or that way. I'll skip that part. The video simulates various semi-pornographic group encounters synchronized to the beat of her song. At one point in the video, Gaga, or Stephanie, not only resurrects Jesus from a tomb, but also clones him with the aid of horned females. Stephanie also takes on the form of a fallen angel, suggesting she's channeling Satan, only then to be born again. It's sickening, it's blasphemous, it's sinful on multiple levels. As you can probably tell, I got this from a Christian publication, not the world's view of it. After a flood of criticism from Christians and conservatives, there are some pop stars that are defending her. British pop singer Lily Allen in a Rolling Stone magazine article, if she's not succeeding commercially because she's standing by what she does as art, then that's a, and can't say that word, great thing. That's to be commended. Watch this. That's what makes a martyr. There's nothing wrong with that. The person that wrote the article went on to say, we need to turn the world upside down. Lady Gaga, a martyr? Folks, Jesus was the martyr. And he died for Stephanie's sins. And I can't imagine how grieved the Holy Spirit must be, not merely by the immorality, but by mocking Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Just expect to see more of this type of thing as the spirit of Antichrist becomes stronger and stronger in preparation for Christ's return. Folks, can you imagine? On the week that we're gearing up to celebrate the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, young people, I want you to listen to me. Look up here. Are you saved? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? What this world's going to make you do, whether you understand it or not, is sooner or later choose between Jesus and this kind of nonsense. Now, a Christian young person, by the way, you can be saved, and because you're saved, you know, maybe you haven't grown and you don't know why certain things are wrong. But if you have in your possession any of this music that belongs to this woman, and after hearing what I just said, you can go home and listen to it, I don't know how you can claim to be saved. If you're truly saved, it's time to break some of that stuff in pieces and get it out of your life. Don't be the one to come to preach on Easter Sunday. You're not going to preach against music, or I'm preaching against satanic music. You better believe I am. And I hope that registers with some of you. Some of you just whatever popular, whatever. Oh, yeah, everybody, that must be cool. It's time, as a Christian young person, you stand up in your public school when this kind of stuff's brought up and say, I'll tell you one thing. I'd never listen to a song by Stephanie again. She mocked my Savior's resurrection. And you know what? That's where I draw the line. Guess what? Welcome to becoming a real Christian. Because that's what real Christians do. There comes a point in time where, you know what, we've been run over and run over and run over, and yet people, Christian people, go buy this kind of music. God help you. And if you're listening to a radio station that plays that, I'd find a different radio station. Amen. All right, we see a lot of things going on. Preacher, wrap it up. We see some running. Causes a lot of excitement. We see some weeping. Causes a lot of confusion. We see some lying. As the devil's still trying to do damage control. God help her, and I am going to pray for her salvation. I'd like to see her saved. Number three, we see some doubting. Like I mentioned, it wasn't just Thomas that was doing the doubting. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the mother of Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman that were with them, which told these things unto the disciples, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. It wasn't just Thomas. Mark 16:14, afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that which had seen him after he was risen. Listen, it wasn't just Thomas. There's a lot of folks that just really didn't believe. And you know what? The honest truth is, there's still a lot of people that just will not accept the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Preacher, what's the difference between a person that's going to heaven and a person that's not going to heaven? The difference is belief. By the way, we've all struggled with doubt. You say, preacher, you're asking me to take a huge leap here. No, I'm not asking you. God's asking you to. You know what he says? He says, I've prepared a way for you to go to heaven. And this is the way I've prepared. I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins. But preacher, I wasn't even alive when Jesus died. Jesus died for all of the sins of anybody that's ever lived, was living, or ever would live. And I often say this, Jerry Ross's sins was placed on Jesus on the cross, and so was yours. And he paid for them. He died for your sins. Folks, listen to me. We should have died in our sins and paid for our sins in a devil's hell forever. He chose to die for our sins. That, listen, watch this. That allowed us to be forgiven of sin. His death, his shed blood paid for our sins. What's the significance of the resurrection? They bury him 3 days, 3 nights later. He rises again. Now he's defeated not just sin. He's defeated death. Now he's bought for us the right to lay claim on eternal life. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why do we get that eternal life thing? Because up from the grave, he arose. Now I want to ask you this morning, I've told you the resurrection story. I walked it out for you. I explained it in pretty good detail. I told you about the different reactions. Let me ask you this. What's your reaction to the resurrection story? What's your reaction? I'm glad if you're excited, young people. I'm glad you're excited because it's Easter, but is that it? I'll say, preacher, I'm a little confused. That's why we took the time this morning to explain what it was all about, so we can erase the confusion. Preacher, I've heard some of the lies. All right, you're going to have to decide what you're going to believe. You're going to believe the devil, or you're going to believe God? Preacher, I have some doubts. I'm going to pray that God will take your doubts and turn them into belief. Because you know what? You can choose not to believe, or you can choose to believe. What is salvation? Salvation comes to a person's life when they fall under conviction of sin. I am a sinner. I needed Jesus. I was on my way to hell. I needed to be saved. And they begin to become convicted by the Holy Spirit concerning their sinful condition. Then they feel the drawing of the Father as he begins to personally work with them and draw them towards salvation. They understand Jesus died for them, buried and rose again the third day. And then they choose by faith to say, you know what? I don't need any evidence. Jesus, you don't have to come down and show me anything. You know what? You said, for by grace are you saved through faith. I choose this day to put my faith in your finished work. I believe you were the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you were buried, and I believe you rose again. And I believe that if I would pray and ask you to, you'd save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let me ask you this. Isn't it time for you to graduate from excitement, graduate from confusion, free yourself from all the lying, free yourself from all the doubting, and just say, you know what, I'm going to celebrate Easter this year by choosing this day to believe unto salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to stand up and, Lord, tell a story that's well known. And for many, many people in this room, they could have told it as well or as better than the preacher did. They know the story. They love the story. For others, maybe the first time that somebody's ever just gone through and explained verse by verse, sequence by sequence, what happened and why it happened. Lord, I pray, dear God, that Satan and the father of all lies will be banished from this place. And dear God, his demonic influence will be banished from this place. And for a few minutes here during our invitation, that the folks here, every single individual here, will listen to your Holy Spirit and listen to your voice and listen to what you are trying to do in their heart when it comes to this matter of salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would please, dear God, speak to that one that has never been saved and help them to realize their need of a Savior. And Lord, we have done the best we can, dear God, to preach salvation this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do his great work in our hearts. Even now we pray.